And she received her MPH from the University of Minnesota in 1999.
Thanks. Thanks, Jim. Jim, it's nice to go after Jim because, you know, as he was talking about, our presentations are kind of, you know, about the same topic, but he talked about the laws and all the details of the laws, which I'm not going to get to at all. I'm just going to be talking about, so what are the law enforcement people saying they're doing around these, around sales to obviously intoxicated persons? I just want to acknowledge my co-authors there on this. So this is a paper that we've been working on, just submitted for publication. So it's fairly new data we're talking about. So our main research question is just, are law enforcement agents making efforts to reduce sales to obviously intoxicated patrons? And what percentage of law enforcement across the country are doing that? And then if so, what types of enforcement are they reporting? And does whether or not they do these things vary by the types of agencies and the types of jurisdictions that the agencies serve? So I'm just going to give a brief background on illegal alcohol sales. Jim already did a very nice job of that, so I'm just going to briefly go over that and then talk about our survey that we did and what kind of results we saw, and then briefly give you some summary and conclusions. So as Jim kind of talked about, there are really two main types of illegal alcohol sales, those to underage persons or minors and those to obviously intoxicated patrons. And overall, as Jim said, that there's really much less attention to these sales to obviously intoxicated persons and reducing them and preventing them compared to underage. We've made some nice strides with in the last couple decades about reducing sales to underage persons. It's still an issue. It's still something that needs to be addressed. But it's more of an emerging issue with reducing sales to obviously intoxicated persons. And this is despite, you know, we know there's a high likelihood of sales to obviously intoxicated persons. Jim already gave the statistics about what we found from the research in terms of sales to pseudo-intoxicated patrons. About 60-70% of the time, someone acting intoxicated is able to buy alcohol in a bar, a restaurant, or a store. So we know there's a high likelihood, and we know that intoxication leads to all sorts of problems. Traffic crashes, violence, as Jim talked about and talked about some of the research in this area. And I've definitely seen some of it here with the Giants celebration. I was just out at the parade. I was afraid I was going to be coming in here smelling of beer because there's people are spraying beer. Anyway, so there's all sorts of consequences. So anyway, our survey. So we did a survey of, in the U.S., of law enforcement agents, of police and sheriff agencies, and then also of the Alcohol Beverage Control Agencies, or the ABCs. And we did this just in 2010-2011. And for the local agencies, of course, we had to do a sample because there's only over 15,000 agencies. So we did a random sample. It was a fairly complicated sampling design that we did. I won't go into all the details, but we stratified by the size of the agency, type of agency, also by the size of the state. We also made sure we included the three largest cities in each state. So our sample was just over 1,600. And then our state agencies, there's 56 in the country, and we tried to survey all of those. There's 56 because a few of the states have more than one. They have several regional agencies versus just one ABC. So it was a combination of telephone and online survey, mostly online. Most of the people, they had an option, and most of them completed online. We just asked about one respondent per agency. We asked for the person who was most familiar with alcohol enforcement at their agency. For the local, we got a 66% rate, so we have about 1,000 agencies around the country. And in the state, we were able to contact all the ABCs, so we have all those in our sample. And we asked fairly similar questions, as you'll see as I go through the results for both the local and state, with some differences, but pretty common. So our main outcome measure for this particular study was just whether or not they conduct any types of enforcement efforts around sales to obviously intoxicated patrons. And we also asked if they did say they did some kind of enforcement, we asked what types and how frequently they did them, things like random inspections, walkthroughs, the BAC testing, etc. So then we looked at variety of agency characteristics that might influence whether an agency did these types of enforcement efforts, the total number of officers they have, if they have officers specifically assigned to alcohol enforcement. We ask that of the local agencies only. Who is primarily responsible for alcohol enforcement in the state? Is it just the ABC, or is it a combination of the two, or really is it local that is primarily responsible? Then we asked them also their perception of how common over-service is in their jurisdiction. And then we also got some data from the census about the jurisdictions that each of the agencies serve, and just how those might influence whether or not they do this type of enforcement, the total population, racial, ethnic makeup, whether how many are living in poverty in the region of the country. So then primarily we did descriptive statistics, so we just wanted to find out how the frequencies for all these different variables, the outcome and the various independent variables. And we did separate analysis, of course, for local versus state. And we also did some bivariate analysis where I looked at our outcome measure and then all the different independent measures, the agency characteristics, the jurisdiction characteristics, just to see what the relationships were there. And then if any of them were significant, we moved them onto a multivariate model. And we were only able to do that for the local agencies because we just had too small of an N for the state. So the descriptive characteristics. So just to give you a sense of what the agencies look like, and there's about half of them have over 15 officers or agents, about half have less, and that's both for local and state. And then for the local agencies, how many have an alcohol enforcement officer that's just doing alcohol enforcement? About 28% said they have that. And then in terms of who's primarily responsible for alcohol enforcement in general, and about 38% said the state primarily does it. Not very many said the local. 13% said the local primarily does it, and then about half said combination of the two. And just to give you an idea of what the jurisdictions look like, the average population for the local was 71,000, but we had a huge range. We had a lot of very small towns, very big cities. It doesn't give you too much information about the mean, but just wanted to provide you with some kind of statistic there. And the states, of course, really big variation in the size of the states. And then we just sort of combined the local and state to look at these other characteristics because they're about the same, about 9% black, 10% Hispanic, and about 14% below poverty line. So now we're getting to the actual description of some of the things related to over-service enforcement. I'm using the term, I don't know if Jim used this or not, over-service enforcement. I kind of use it interchangeably with enforcing sales, obviously intoxicated. It's just another term that's used, kind of easier to say. So in terms of how common they perceived the over-service to be in their jurisdiction, 57% of the local agencies said it was somewhat or very common versus not common. And almost all the state, 88%, said it was somewhat or very common in their jurisdiction. And then in terms of who's conducting any type of enforcement effort, about a quarter of the local said they were, and about two-thirds of the state. And this is only of those who have the authority to do this in their jurisdictions. So we did drop out those that don't have a law or for whatever reason aren't able to enforce these. So. And then just in terms of the type of enforcement, for those who did do some kind of enforcement, what did they do? These are the options that we gave them, as well as if they did anything else, that we also had another category that that we did not get much input on. But we walked through establishments, random inspections in establishments, some kind of systematic observations. Those were the most common. And they said they did those. The other ones were less common, last call and blood alcohol testing and pseudo-intox purchase attempts were not so common. And again, I just combined these for the local and state because the percentages are pretty similar across two. But then in terms of frequency, I mentioned that we asked how frequently they do these various things. Less than half of the agencies did at least one of those top three in the last month, so they're not doing this very often. And Jim gave us some insight as perhaps why they're not, we'll get into that later. So just in terms of some of the characteristics of what might explain why one agency does this versus not the others, we found that it's pretty obvious or easy to explain that when those who have more officers, those who have an officer assigned to alcohol enforcement were more likely. If they felt like overservice was more common, they were more likely to do it. In terms of the demographics, the bigger cities, the bigger towns, lower proportion of black and living in poverty, but a higher proportion of Hispanic. Now, this is just in the Bivariate Association, and I'll show you that when we put them all together in one model, what comes out. In the state agency, we really weren't able to get much in terms of what kind of explained why one state agency would do this versus not. For one thing, almost all of them are doing it, 88%, so that could explain some of the reason why they didn't come out statistically. But the only thing that mattered as far as significance was that if the state agency or the state with the local together was doing the over-service enforcement, which is, again, kind of a circular thing there, so it doesn't really tell us a whole lot. And unfortunately, we weren't able to do any multivariate. We only had the one variable anyway that was significant. So then, for the local agencies, I put all those different characteristics of the population, the racial makeup, different types of agency characteristics. It was really only whether they had an officer specifically assigned to alcohol enforcement, whether they were more likely to do this type of enforcement, and if they had they thought that overservice was somewhat or very common. Again, it's pretty intuitive there. So those are the only things that mattered. Didn't matter all those other characteristics in terms of that the jurisdictions or whatever to help explain. So who's doing this and who's not? It's not the bigger cities. It's not the ones that have less people in poverty or whatever. That didn't matter when we put these all together. So just to summarize, I think my main point is really what I want to show here is that we see that overservice is common. So over half the local jurisdictions said it was somewhat or very common, and in nearly all the states. But the overservice enforcement is less common. Only a quarter of the local agencies said they were doing anything, and two-thirds of the state agencies said they were doing anything. And in terms of frequency, the observations, walkthroughs, random inspections were the most common things, but they weren't being done very frequently. So just to conclude, of course, we need some increased emphasis on this type of enforcement, and of course the laws, some improvement of the laws, as Jim was talking about, is a key part of that, and those have to be together. We have to work those together so there's a better law, so the law enforcement is more motivated or able to actually charge someone that is obviously intoxicated. Those with agencies with adequate resources may want to consider having an enforcement officer specifically assigned to alcohol. And we certainly need more studies looking at effective types of enforcement efforts. In addition to the laws being better written, we really don't know what the police and other agents, what's the best thing to do for them to reduce these types of sales. In underage sales, if some of you may be familiar with alcohol compliance checks, and that's something that we know helps reduce sales to underage, and they've been effective, and there's been a lot of studies, and there's a lot of funding for that, but we don't really have from the research perspective, we don't have a really good recommendation on what they should be doing. And that concludes my thank you very much.
Great. So you helped us out.
Okay.
Do you want to take some questions now?
We have a few minutes if there are any questions now. No, we haven't looked at that yet. We did in the paper. I did look at which percentage of the states are the state and local agencies doing some kind of enforcement. That's as far as we've gotten in terms of combining the data, and it breaks down in about a quarter, they're both doing it. Another one, some half are doing it. Anyway, I don't want to get into all this. This is kind of complicated, but we didn't look at like characteristics of the agencies and how those might influence the reasons. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Do we have time for more? Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't ask that of each. We asked about alcohol compliance checks. We did get into the details on that. For the different types of enforcement for this, we just asked how frequently they did it, but not how many establishments.
I have one comment to that question, then I had a question for you. The walkthroughs are, my experience with walkthroughs as a practical matter is they show up and they walk through usually during the day, and they're looking for any type of violation.
Yeah.
So it's not really an over-service.
Yeah.
You know, if they saw a drunk person, they might do something.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I'm saying is walkthroughs, you could count, if you're going to count that as an enforcement of the over-service laws, it's an enforcement of any type of law. That's how they view it.
Yeah.
My question, though, is it seemed like, or a comment, I guess, also, one of the interesting findings is that so many of these agencies say it's not a major problem. And I think we could say, based on the data we have, that this is probably a major problem in every jurisdiction of the country. So do you have any thoughts about that? Because the idea that an agency would say, oh, this isn't a problem in my jurisdiction, when we have the kinds of data, the national data we have on where binge drinking occurs, that seems kind of a concern to me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a concern. And I think part of it is just this awareness. I mean, we know with underage sales, that was being ignored for a while, sales to underage persons. And there's been a big shift in making that more aware. I think people are just not on the radar. And so they're just thinking, we're not really thinking about this. Or they don't know about the consequences. I think it's just more of that kind of thing is my perception. Or they really don't perceive it. I don't know if they're trying to get, if they're just ignoring it, or they really just don't even think about it. I'm not sure. We have 1 minute, so. Yeah, Tom?
We heard at the last presentation in the last session, during one of the presentations, that one might include that the National Conference of State Liquor Administrators is talking about the alcohol industry. Did you see any correlation between the NCSLA state enforcement activities and that allegation? Were they any less rigorous than the so-called control of the states affiliated with NAVCA?
No, we haven't looked at that yet. I mean, this survey is part of a much bigger study, and we are going to be looking at the various laws and also, what kind of, if they're a control state or privatized state. But in terms of this analysis so far, we haven't looked at that. But that's it's a good point, and it's probably a key factor in some of this. Okay, we need to stop, and we'll take more questions later.